T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Twins continue in Florida. I think for observers like us, it feels like spring training is never going to end at this point. We'll get to the player side with Kyle Gibson in a matter of moments. Twins back on the station when they play Friday. It's a 5 o'clock start. I believe they played the Red Sox once again on this weekend. And then most importantly, the opener, the regular season and home opener, 1 week from today. We will be there. We will be broadcasting inside. And also an individual who will be there is Twins pitcher Kyle Gibson, who's kind enough to join us on an off day. Now, is it an off day for you, or were you at the park involved in some work just on an everyday basis, sir?
Today is an off day. I did bring my throwing program to throw home, and I'll play some catch because I'm really not a fan of starting after an off day without playing catch. So I'll play a little bit of catch with myself, and then I'll be getting ready for tomorrow. But definitely an off day at the house with the kids. They were playing out in the yard and enjoying some time at home.
Okay, so like a lot of us, we were throwing by ourselves. We just had a wall. Right. So we just because I'll just say in my backyard in the wall in Golden Valley in the 70s and early 80s, I was a Cy Young Award winner. Now, when I actually pitched in the game, I really wasn't that good. So when you're bringing this home to your place in Fort Myers, how does this work?
So it's the black dirt throw thing that people have seen me do. And it's kind of like the oven mitt thing. And then what I do is I just end up putting a baseball in it after I do my warm up stuff with my connection ball. And then I literally just kind of visualize myself playing catch with somebody. But the health benefits of throwing with that, go along with playing catch. The back of the shoulder activation and strengthening the arm at the same time of playing catch. So, today I'll probably go back to, figuratively, 90 or 120 feet in my mind. And, knowing what that feels like, I'll, get my feet moving and play catch to 90 or 120 and go until my arm feels good and what I would do normally.
Where are you at now in recovering from E. coli? And we are on the radio. Can you tell us the worst part about getting that?
I don't know that you want to know the worst part about
Come on. Yeah.
I'm sure if you just Google E. coli, that might spare me to have to actually share the details.
Yep.
Overall, my recovery, I'm doing really good. Strength-wise, is coming back. I've been able to work out pretty solidly this spring training and work on my strength phase of what I normally do in December and January. Overall, I feel really good. I think I'm getting really close to 210 pounds where I was down to 199. So it was the first time I was under 200 pounds since junior year of college. So that's slowly coming back. And overall, my stomach's been really consistent and been feeling really good.
Perez, your new teammate, was giving some hints that he's going to follow another new teammate of yours, Pineda, in the rotation, which led to the speculation that because you were behind, because health isn't quite there, that maybe you would not be in the first part of the rotation, maybe in the second with these off days. Can you confirm that? I mean, are you going to have to stay in Fort Myers a little bit longer just to get fully up to speed for maybe the middle of the month?
No, I'll be ready to go for the beginning of the season. We've got so many off days in the beginning of the season. I think we have 5 off days in the first 2 weeks. So we've been going over a bunch of different scenarios as a rotation with Rocco and Shelty and Wes and trying to figure out the best way to use 5 starters when we really could probably get by with 3 on some of these games. So. No, I'll be ready to go, and I'm actually going 5 innings on Friday, and I'll be ready to go.
Kyle Gibson is with us from Florida. Key pitcher on the Twins, the regular season opener and the home opener is 1 week from today. Okay, so Rocco is different. Wes Johnson is different. Already a lot of talk about Rocco, so let's deal with Wes. It's extraordinarily rare for a pitching coach to come from college to the major leagues. What was your initial reaction to that, and what do you think about Wes now that you've worked with him for an extended period of time?
My initial reaction before I met him was really knowing that he was going to talk to a lot of guys. He knows so many guys in this game. You know, he was going to, you know, get a lot of advice on what it was going to be like. But, you know, one of the biggest differences, I mean, there's a lot of differences, but one of the biggest differences between, you know, college and the jump to the major leagues is just where guys are at in their career and how much they've figured out about themselves. And, you know, we obviously have still a pretty young team, but especially our rotation, you know, all five of us have a really good idea of the routine that we need to be on. And we've all had some success doing that routine. So for Wes, and our bullpen is actually the same as well. So for Wes, it was going to be the biggest hurdle was just figuring out how to go from college where he's, you know, walking guys along and interjecting at any point and really, you know, molding their routine. Whereas with us, it's trying to find the subtle differences that can take us from being an average pitcher to really, really good. And it's just kind of working with those personalities, and he's done an awesome job of coming in and trying to really explain where he's coming from instead of just taking the stance of this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and if you don't want to do it, then we'll find somebody else. So it's been a really good relationship so far.
You still are the team's player rep, correct?
Yes, Castro and I, yep.
Yep. What is your view on the new rules, the Major League Baseball, they're put in play to try to speed up the game? In particular, the one next year, not this season, next year, where any pitcher who either starts the game or who comes into the game has to face a minimum of three hitters.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the one I'm least fan of. You know, for me, just going through some of the talks and hearing what, you know, both sides are saying, for me, I just think, especially home fans, right, you know, the fans that come to watch their game at the park, they really just want to see their team win. And if that game takes 3 hours and 10 minutes or 2 hours and 50 minutes, they just want to see their team win. So I don't necessarily think they want to see a 5-2 loss, but it only took 2 hours and 45 minutes. You know, for us, it's just trying to put the best team on the field and give the fans, you know, the best game they can. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of tough, you know. You know, you get in a situation and you're forced to – obviously, all of our relievers can get three outs. You know, that's not the point of it. You know, most relievers in the big leagues can get three outs. But when it's very obvious, one, even two hitters in, that a guy just does not have it and he throws eight balls in a row.
Right.
And now he's forced to face another guy and possibly walk in another run in that situation if that's the situation he was in. The home fans are going to be sitting there, well, why can't he take him out?
Yep.
Well, the rules say that he has to face another guy and possibly lose the game. And I don't think home fans are going to like that. And, you know, that's not how we're trying to move the game forward.
Here's where I'm going to agree and disagree with you a little bit on that one, because I agree with you 100% on a bullpen guy comes in and you nailed it. He just doesn't have it. It's to me, it's antithetical to the game that you just have to sit and watch the guy. To me, the problem is as someone who still enjoys the game, but too many times in the summer, I can literally go watch a movie. I can go do so many things and I come back and either I'm listening here on CC or watching and it's in the seventh inning. I just think, Kyle, there's too many 3-hour and 30-minute games. And so within the confines and not just totally stripping the core rules, what can you do so the 2-hour and 30-minute game isn't that rare? In fact, the 2-hour 30-minute game is more commonplace than the 3-hour and 30-minute game. I mean, where do you stand on the clock? If a pitch clock was in there and there was absolute punishment towards a pitcher and a hitter, would you be in favor of that?
No. Not really, because I once again I don't think that, you know, if your closer's in a situation or your starter's in a big situation in the sixth or seventh inning and we're trying to save 10 seconds to make him pick his pitch a little bit faster, once again I think the home crowd wants their team to win, and I think the home crowd wants their guys to be able to make that right decision. That's just one thing. Another thing, you know, I faced it in the minor leagues when I got sent down in 2017, and there's so many ways to get around it with guys on base. If you don't have your sign, you just do a pickoff loop, and you get a fresh 20. You step off the mound, you get a fresh 20.
Yep.
There's a lot of ways around it now. They can put those rules in to keep guys from doing that, but at the end of the day, there's so many other ways we can do it. You know, obviously they're limiting mound visits. I don't know if they're going to actually cut inning breaks, but they're giving me the opportunity to throw 10 or 12 pitches in the 2 minutes that they give me, instead of cutting it down to 140, and there's 20 seconds every single inning that they could shave off. So there's a lot of give and take. But I think ultimately both sides are making the game better if the best product that can be on the field is on the field.
Kyle Gibson with us. Okay, off your success the last year and a half, you're somebody this organization clearly wants to keep. You're looking at free agency. I'm sure parameters have been discussed on a contract. I don't think you're going to give us all the details. I would prefer if you would. So that's up to you. Are you going to set a deadline here? I mean, do you want to say, hey, if it doesn't happen before this season, I'm done? Or how do you want to play this out? And how optimistic are you that something can get done?
Well, I don't look at my situation as I'm staring at free agency. I've got 32 starts here, and that's what I'm pretty focused on. I obviously have loved Minnesota. My wife and I have loved being up there for the last six summers. We made a lot of good friends and met a lot of good people in the community, and have made relationships with other organizations in the community and with people within the Twins that we would love to keep going. I don't really look at it as setting a deadline. I don't know if that really helps anybody. You look at arbitration and, just a small example, teams that are going file and trial really kind of take the negotiating out of it. And then when you get put up against a wall, it really doesn't help negotiations. So that's really not how I would look at it. Any talks that I've had, I don't want to share too many details because I don't necessarily think that that's the best way to do it. But I've been very clear, I don't have a deadline. If we come to agreement on April 1st, we'll come to an agreement on April 1st. If the Twins want to talk April 30th, then we'll talk April 30th. I think if both sides are open to getting something done, and I think there's a chance that we'll get something done. So, every talk that I've had has been a really positive talk with Derek and Thad and Rob, and I definitely hope that we can get something done at some point.
What is the most annoying part of spring training?
I would say the most annoying part is that every day is basically a day game, and then you switch to all night games as soon as the season starts.
Yep.
That's probably the worst part. That's probably really a first world problem, complaining about getting to the field at 7:30.
Yeah.
But it's really that's not the point, really. The point is, we're going to play all of our games at 1 o'clock, and then we're going to make a quick switch to where you're not getting home until 11 or 11:30, and then your internal clock needs to flip so you can get that 8 hours of sleep and sleep in a little bit. But other than that, we've had a really good camp. They've actually given us more rest this year, making sure we're not starting until 9:30 or 10. So I've had that chance to get my rest, and which was really big for my E. coli recovery. So getting that rest, getting that extra sleep. So it's been a really good camp. But that's the one thing that if you could switch. But, hey, who wants to be, out on the field for that, three-hour workout, obviously, in the middle of the Florida heat. So there's a lot of give and take with it. But, that'd be really the only thing.
How sick do you get of the same songs that you hear at every ballpark? I mean, wouldn't you like to see a little more mix?
I mean, are you sick of Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
what's the song that you're sick of?
Well, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they could freshen it up. Okay, I wasn't headed there, but they could. But just it's like, okay, you go to park, and everybody has some variation, the same walk up music or the same music during the break. Are you just okay with that, or are you someone who's just oblivious to that?
I'm not oblivious. I hear about everything when I'm standing on the mound. So I am. If a song comes on in between innings, you'll probably see me singing the song as I'm warming up.
Can I stop you on that? Do you have a pretty good voice?
My daughter thinks so, but I actually do not. So thankfully, my daughter enjoys when I sing to her at bedtime. But in general, I'm probably 90% tone tuned deaf.
Would you like to let us determine if you can sing
No, I do not. I appreciate that opportunity, but no, I'll defer that. But
we could play a song in the background just to get you going a little bit.
Nah, you're good. You're good. I appreciate the offer.
I'm not sensing a lot of wiggle room. I mean, now I know I don't have a deal with the Twins. I mean, there's no negotiating.
Oh man. To the question though. You know, I think it's more culture, right? You know, culture has these songs everybody likes, and that's how it goes. But one of my favorites is being, you know, in the eighth inning at, you know, Boston, you get to hear Sweet Caroline. That's something that you never get sick of when those fans are doing that.
Okay, so, but if you were pitching for the Red Sox, okay, and every day it was bum, 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 da-da, you're telling me it wouldn't bug you a little bit? If it's one thing when you're out there for the one series, right, and everybody's into it, but if it was 81 days of Neil and Sweet Caroline, come on.
I mean, have you been there when they do it, though? That's my question.
I have, but it's been a while, you know?
Okay.
Would you like to...
One of those things when all however many thousands of people are doing it, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how you could get sick of it. It's one of the cooler moments, probably, at a park, I think.
Have you ever met Neil Diamond?
No, sir.
Would you like to meet Neil? I mean, is there one of these singers that you would like to track down sometime and meet in person?
Hey, I'm up for meeting anybody. That'd be I'm not one to shy away from, you know, being able to meet, you know, people, you know, throughout history that have, you know, done really cool things and done things that have impacted, you know, people around the world. So yeah, that'd be cool.
Who is the coolest guy you've ever met through this?
The coolest guy I've ever met. That's that's a tough one. Man, I don't know. That's pretty tough. I had the chance. I don't know if this really is that good of a one, but Tom Browning, the guy who threw a perfect game for the Reds. I was a big Reds fan when I grew up. My dad was a Reds fan. He came and spoke at one of our travel team banquets. That was pretty cool meeting him.
Well, I've got something, Kyle. I've got something to top that. Let me go to line six here. Sarah, could you introduce yourself?
Ted, Kyle, this is Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond is on the line, Kyle.
Wow. How are you doing?
Kyle, I'm a big fan.
Kyle,
would
you like to ask Neil a question?
Man, how do you think Red Sox fans should be tired of singing your song in every eighth inning of every home game?
Kyle, I'm tired of singing that song. I wish I'd never wrote it. It's just the fact you brought it up, it pains me. Kyle, what would you like to hear? Let's start a new tradition at Target Field. Let's come up with a new Neil Diamond song to play at Target Field. What are you thinking there, big shooter?
I don't know. I think you should write one. Let's make one specific for Target Field.
Well, how about for you, Kyle?
Come on. I'm in retirement age. I'm done writing.
Yeah, he's not going to pen a new one, Kyle. This guy's performed thousands of times. He's willing to give you one. When you walk out, Neil is willing to sing a song for you.
Hey, you know what? You pick your favorite, and I'll walk out to it. How about that?
How about this, Kyle? Forever in blue jeans, but you've got to pitch in blue jeans. How about that?
Would be good. On a day game, right, Neil? Right? So it's
the hotter the better.
Yeah, and it's a getaway day, Kyle, so then you can go right to the airport.
I do pitch a lot of getaway days, so that would work pretty good.
Do you think Rocco would go for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be just fine. As long as they're white, you know, home whites, road grays, I can find a pair of gray jeans or white jeans to wear. That'll work.
Neil, do you pay attention to the Twins at all?
I love the Twins, and I follow baseball very closely. Does Harmon Killebrew still play? Is he walking around?
No. Harmon passed away, Neil. He passed away. See, Kyle, you never know who you get a chance to talk to here on the show.
I don't know. Incredible.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
Neil, thank you so much for coming on the air. Any final wishes for Kyle?
Good luck to the Twins. I hope they win that National League pennant.
Well, I'm not sure Neil's paying close enough attention, Kyle. Hey, Kyle, we always appreciate it. We'll reach out again. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that.
Take care. Kyle Gibson and a bonus Neil Diamond here on the show. It's that's your Linda's Construction Time. Time to lower your energy bills with a free home energy audit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.